Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Nun Tes. We are on Nun Ches Amud Beis. We're starting with more stories. Again, as I mentioned already a couple of times, but bears repeating, the Gemara now in discussing the halachas of Yayin Nesach is doing so not in the context of just saying memras and shmaises and brises, but rather the Gemara is going to tell stories and the reactions of Amorim to these stories, and based on these reactions, we are going to deduce halacha. So it's an interesting way of presenting the halacha. That's the way the Gemara is doing it, and vis-a-vis Yayin Nesach. So there's at the end of the fourth parak, which is coming up actually pretty quickly. So at the end of the fourth parak, there's a really interesting Rashi, where Rashi, we're going to see it on Samech Aleph Amud Beis, which is just 3 days from now. So we're going to see a Rashi at the end of the parak where Rashi says, okay, can we just can we consolidate and can we organize? And Rashi is going to cite all the stories that we went through and the various conclusions that come up from these stories. If my numbering is correct, I'm going back on, seven years ago. Not that many, but more. So anyway, so if my numbering is correct, so there are five conclusions that Rashi arrives at the end of this parak regarding the halachas of Yayin Nesach. As we learn through all these stories, we are on Nun Ches Amud Beis. And we are with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish ikul labatzra. So Reish Lakish goes to Batzra. So where is he geographically? So I don't know, but neither does he. So at least, huh? Okay, fine. So in other words, so you want to put it in Iraq? It's going to be a little bit strange, by the way, because I mean, as will become apparently clear from the Gemara, he thinks he's in Israel and he's not in Israel. And so if we're talking about Iraq, I mean, it's not a stone throw away. It's, some distance away. In any event, whatever the case is, he thinks he's in Israel. And so now he's walking around Batzara. Now, by the way, why does he think he's in Israel? Because we know that one of the Ari Miklat is Batzar, meaning it's the same name of the town, just missing a hay. So so he thinks he's in Israel at the time. And now, so imagine, you think you're in Israel. You're looking around. And what do you see? So he sees now the Jews in Batzra, and they're eating fruit, and they didn't, I might as well say fruit. The Gemara says Pere. So they're eating fruit, and they're not taking off Chumas and Maisos. And he thinks it's in Israel. So he's looking around, he's thinking to himself, are they out of their mind? Meaning you have to take off Chumas and Maisos. What are they doing? So he said, no, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. In other words, you can't eat fruit until you take off Chumas and Maisos. It's called Tevel. Eating Tevel is a Chiv Misa B'dei Shamayim. So you're not allowed to do that. And then, that's the second thing that he saw, Chazamai Desagilu Ovi Kochavim. So he sees now water being worshipped by the non-Jews, the idolaters of the community of Batzra, Vishasi Yisrael. And he sees that the Jews are drinking that water with no reservation whatsoever. The Asalahu, and he says, no, you're not allowed to do that. In other words, that water now is Nasar. It's now Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to drink the water. Okay. So these are the two Pesachim of Reish Lakish. Yep. Yeah, that look is a correct look. The first Pesach he gave is based on just incorrect information. He's not in Israel. The second Pesach that he gave is just simply, okay. So also the comment to Rabbi Yochanan, so Reish Lakish goes back to Rabbi Yochanan. And with the pride of, how he's going around and correcting people from what they're doing wrong. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, nah, you got to turn around. So Amalei ademakturech alech zilhadar. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, now it's a strange language of the Gemara, words I'm not familiar with. If you look at Rashi over here says, ba'osh begadecha alecha, don't take off your jacket. Meaning you have a job to do. So chozer etzlam v'hater lehem. Right, I'm not giving you a chance to take a break. In other words, you gave a wrong psak. You go straight back. Don't even take off your coat, and you're going to tell them that you're wrong on both points. And so Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, okay, so you were incorrect, and you'll just simply say you'll go back and you'll tell them you're correct. Right. I make it sound like it's no big deal to just simply correct the mistakes that you make. It is a big deal. In other words, it's, obviously we tend to justify our positions, and especially if we're public about our positions and we tell people, this is the right halacha, and then, or whatever you espouse. But if you tell people this is the right halacha and then you end up being wrong, so it's not an easy thing, but Reish Lakish, I'm sure, did exactly as instructed by his brother-in-law, his chavrusa. Now, with the mistakes that he made, so number one, batzar, lav hainu batzra. So the first mistake that he made is that Batzar and Batzar are two different locations. Batzar is in Eretz Yisrael, in fact. It's one of the Ari Miklat, which we learned back in Makos. So, which is clearly located in Eretz Yisrael. Batzar, on the other hand, is not located in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it's Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, seemingly, it's not Chayiv and Chumas HaMaisos. I'm going to come back to that point in just a moment. Umayim Shorabim Ein Asarim. And also the water. The water is Shorabim. Now, that might have thrown a little bit of a curveball at us. I mean, the water is not, it's public water. Meaning, can't we say something a little more fundamentally than that? And that is the Mayim is Mechuba L'Karka. It's connected to the ground. Hold that thought for a moment, because that is a good thought. That's a correct thought. And we're going to come back to that point in just a moment. But anyway, it's Mayim Shorabim. So it's public water. And Ein Asar, in public water, you can't ask for public water. We know the principle is Ein Adam Osur Davashena Shalom, that you cannot prohibit something that doesn't belong to you. And if all you're doing is bowing to that item, so that's not a Maisa, that's not an action, that's just Ishtachavaya, and you cannot change the status of anything if it does not belong to you, if there's no action that's involved. Something that we spent a lot of time learning over this Masechta, and Rav Yochanan is telling his brother-in-law, and go back and tell them, it's Mayim Shel Rabbim. Now, Rav Yochanan Tame, Da'am Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimma Meyot Tzadok. Now we're just going to run through these points of the Gemara. We're on the very top of the New Testament Aleph. Mayim Shel Rabbim in Esarim. Hadi Yachin Esarim. If it's Mayim Shel Rabbim, if it's public water, so it doesn't become Aser. Now, if it's an individual, if it's private water, meaning if it's a private pool, and it belongs to that person who's bowing down to it, that becomes Aser. But the Gemara says, V'tepekle Da'am Mechubar Menenu. But the Gemara says, but then we run into another obstacle. There's another reason why it shouldn't become a Chesed Shel Avodah Zarah, and that's because it's connected to the ground. And as we've learned, this is one of the Yesodos regarding Avodah Zarah. If it's Mechubal HaKarka, so it's Ein Oneser, it doesn't become Aser as an Avodah Zarah. So V'tepekle Da'am Mechubar Menenu, Lo Tzricha D'tal Shinu Gala. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about where there was a wave, and the wave brought water up, and so it becomes detached from the source of the water, meaning it detached from the whatever it is. It's a lake, it's a large pool, whatever the case is. So in other words, it's a wave. So the Gemara says, Sof Avnei Har Shenidal Deloninu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if that's true, then I'm going to take us back just a short 14 days ago, where the Gemara on Memvav had the following discussion. What if I have a mountain, and what if I have a stone that becomes dislodged from the mountain, the stone becomes dislodged on its own? So in other words, on one hand, it was part of the ground, on the other hand, it becomes detached, but nobody detached it. It happened organically, it happened naturally. And what do we say regarding that stone? Is that stone now able to become a Chefzah Shel Avodah Zarah, yes or no? And if you remember back on Daf Mem Vav, we had a machlokas on that issue, between Rav Yochanan and Bnei Rebbe Chiya, the sons of Rebbe Chiya. And the Gemara never identified who takes which position. We know one says that it can become a Chefzah Shel Avodah Zarah, and the other one says it cannot. And so over here you have a wave, which is natural, separating water from the water source, that really is the same as a stone becoming dislodged from the ground. So we're really looking at the same exact issue. And Rav Yochanan, the Gemara is saying, Rav Yochanan answers it. Sof avnei harshin adadolaninu. So tesaim de Rav Yochanan da'am rasuros. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so then we can go back to Daf Mem Vav, and we could say that Rav Yochanan is the one who says that it's Aser. Now, as Rashi over here points out, the Gemara didn't do that, meaning the Gemara on Mem Vav didn't quote our episode over here, and the Gemara didn't use this as a proof, and why not? And so the Gemara says, Lo tzricha ditavchinu biyadeh. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why not, because the case is that where it didn't naturally separate, but rather the guy was the one who took the water and removed it from the water source, so it was not natural separation, and therefore it doesn't relate to the Gemara back on Daf Mem Vav. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the episode of Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, where Reish Lakish says, came to Batra, offered two psakim, one about Chumas HaMaisros, a second one about water, and in both he was incorrect, and Rav Yochanan said, so you go right back there and you correct yourself, and you tell them that on both points, the produce does not need to be mufresh mitrumas amaisos, and the water is not in fact aser. It's mut. Okay. Before we go on to the Gemara, let's go back. Tosos over here has a lengthy discussion regarding trumas amaisos and chutz aretz. Okay.
What happened to that water? The guy pushed the water off. It went back down into the original place where it was.
I look, all I have to work with is Rashi. I mean, Ovikochavim biyade melamata vitalshan. He just simply separated the water.
It would have fallen into into a
Kaling. Okay, it could be. What you're saying sounds reasonable. I'm I support it, right? V'acher kach ishtachav alehem. Okay, and then Rashi says it's tfisas yad, and therefore it's aser. Okay, trumas amaisos in chotzaret. So look, we unfortunately live in chotzaret, and we don't take off trumas amaisos. So, and this is not only just us; this is basically everyone living in galus. No one's taking off trumas amaisos. So if I say to you, is there an obligation to take off trumas amaisos in chotzaret, even without the benefit of knowledge and knowing anything, just by experience? We all know that you don't take off Trumas HaMaisos and Protestant Chutzaris. That seems to be the case. And not only does that seem to be the case, but Agamar seems to be an incredibly great support. Because the Gemara says, no, you mistook it. Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, you thought this was Batzar, meaning Betzer, meaning the town in Israel? No, it's not. It's Batzra. It's Chutzaris, and therefore there's no need to take off Trumas HaMaisos. So this idea that you don't have to take off Trumas HaMaisos and Chutzaris seems to be a really reasonable idea. However, there are other Gemaras that seem to indicate that you do need to take off Trumas HaMaisos, even in Chutzaretz. And Tosfos over here that starts on Ches Amud Beis, Batzra Lav Hainu Batzra, and goes all the way into our Daf, Nuntes Amud Aleph, so has an extraordinarily lengthy discussion about this topic, about whether or not there's a Chiyuv Trumas HaMaisos in Chutzaretz. Now, even as we say that, even if there is, I mean, there isn't, but, I mean, the halach is we don't. But even if there is, certainly it's only operating on a derabbanan level, not a deraisa level. Meaning, Trumas HaMaisos obviously is one of the, it's one of the prototype examples of a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It is an agricultural halacha connected to the land of Eretz Yisrael. So min haTorah, for sure there's no obligation to take off Trumas HaMaisos, but at least on a rabbinic level, is there any kind of obligation whatsoever? Our Gemara seems to indicate no, and if you take a look at Tosfos over here, we can start four lines into the Tosfos, right? Betzalav Hainu Batzra, right? Towards the beginning of the line. The line begins with the words Bemeiser. So Tosfos writes, Mashma Mehacha Lo Mechaveh Bemeiser. So it sounds like here, it seems pretty clear that there's no obligation to take off Meiser. V'chei Mashma Berakamet Chulin. And there's going to be a Gemara in the beginning of Chulin that also indicates that. Gabi Rebbe Meir, She'achal Alei Shel Yerek Bebeis Sha'an. Vihita Rebbe Beis Sha'an Kula Al Yidei Mishum Dehavis Savar De Beis Sha'an Michutz Aretzi. Beis Sha'an, the way Beis Sha'an that I know is clearly squarely right in the middle of Israel, but there's some, maybe it was a different Beis Sha'an, whatever the case is, there was some Beis Sha'an where Rebbe says it's not part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore not Chayev and Trumas HaMaisos. V'kasha Dila B'chol Shar Talmud. However, Tosfos says, but if you take a tour of Shas, so you will see that there is at least a rabbinic obligation to take off Trumas HaMaisos in Chutz La'aretz. Mashma, the Chutz La'aretz chayavus b'maisa, the kamar b'becharos b'perakad kama, or b'perakama debetza, Trumas Chutz La'aretz, ochel v'holech v'achakech mafish. You are allowed to a certain amount of leniencies when it comes to produce in Chutz La'aretz, but Tosfos writes, but leniencies, meaning, but there is a obligation to take off Trumas HaMaisos. For example, Tosfos says, quoting the Gemara in Beitza, that what you could do is, you could first eat, then take off Trumas HaMaisos. Now in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, you can't do that. In other words, it's tevel. You have to first take off Trumas HaMaisos and then eat it. But, okay, but that's a leniency, but you have to take off Trumas HaMaisos. V'chein rabba mat b'olein, la b'ro v'achola, b'mei toma v'kamer nami hasam, raptuvi havalei, guba d'chamer d'truma v'perek v'nos kusim, So Tosfos basically says, you look around Shas and you'll see that there seemingly is at least a rabbinic obligation to take off Trumas HaMaisos in Chutz La'aretz. So, basically, where do I go? Meaning, how do I resolve all these Gemaras, where there are two clear-cut Gemaras, Ardaf being one of them, that there's no obligation to take off Trumas HaMaisos in Chutz La'aretz, and there are a host of other Gemaras that seems to suggest that there is an obligation. So, from this point going forward, I encourage you, read Tosfos gives a number of different suggestions in terms of how to resolve our Gemara versus a number of other Gemaras that seem to indicate otherwise.
It's Maser Yerek, even in Eretz Yisrael, is only a
Derabbanan. That's one suggestion. That's one of Tosfos' suggestions. Okay. Let's go back to our Gemara now. We are in Nun Tes Amud Aleph. We are towards the top of the Amud. About six lines from the top of the Amud with Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia bar Abba ikle legavla. Rabbi Chia bar Abba goes to the town of Gavla. And three things are that he observes as he goes to this town of Gavla. Number one, Chazam ben Yisrael, demi Abra meovdi kochem shemala velo tavlo. So, unfortunately, women are married to non-Jews, I guess the good news, it's not the best, but the good news is that at least they were headed in the direction of conversion. But we saw the Gemara in Yevamos, we just saw the other day. In order to be a convert, you have to go through two steps. You have to go through Mila and Tvila. Now there's a third step also, the Kabbalah Mitzvos, but in other words, Mila and Tvila are essential. And one without the other is just simply insufficient. And so therefore, their husbands had the Mila, but didn't do the Tvila, which we really, if you think about it, it's just nuts, because the Mila obviously is the more difficult part of the conversion process. The Tvila, not as difficult. But okay, in other words, the husbands they were married to were Mavalo Tavo, so they had the Mila, but they didn't Tovel in the Mikvah. So that means to say yet that they're not Jewish. And Chazuch Hamra, the Mazgov de Kochav Vishasu, Yisrael. And another thing that he observed while in this town of Gavla is that the Jews were allowing their wines to be diluted by non-Jews, and then they drank it. Now, you go back to yesterday's daf, and you remember that the Gemara said on the Amud Beis, on Nunches Amud Beis, yesterday's daf, that that's a no-no. You're not allowed to have the non-Jew dilute the wine for you, even though he's not putting his hand in the wine, he's not touching the wine, all he's simply doing is pouring water into it. But the Gemara said yesterday, no, you're not allowed to do that. Why not? So the Gemara quoted the expression that the Gemara quotes very often throughout Chas. So, right, Leich Leich Hamer Nazir Skor Skor Lekam Lo Sikrov. We tell the Nazir, don't walk through the vineyard. It's just not prudent behavior. It's not it's not a good idea. So having the non-Jews dilute the wine of a Jew, the Gemara says it's simply not a good idea. We shouldn't do it. And so therefore they were doing it in this town of Gavla. And the third thing that he observed is Chaza, Tormaisa de Shalkilu of the Kocham the Achli Yisrael, Velo Amru Velo Midi. And these Tormaisa beans, they're hard beans, they're not edible. In order to be able to eat them, so you have to cook them. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that seems to indicate that you have to cook them, I think 7 times if I remember correctly. But even if I'm not correct, but in other words, they are inedible. This point's very clear. They're inedible prior to cooking them, and they're only edible when you can cook them. So they are not something which is nechal kamoshu chai. It's not something that can be eaten raw. And meanwhile, they allow the non-Jews to cook these beans, and then they eat these beans. So on all 3 points, also the comment of Rav Yochanan, Amalei Tzevei Echriz Abaneim Shem Mamzerim. So now, he doesn't paskin in this case, not like the previous episode with Reish Lakish. He goes to Rav Yochanan and says to Rav Yochanan, what do I say to them? So number one, Rav Yochanan says to them, say, here's what you're going to do. Tell them that their children are mamzerim. Ve'al yena mishum yayin nesach. And the wine that they're drinking is yayin nesach. Ve'al tormasa mishum bishula ovde kochavim. Mishum she'enam b'nei Torah. And tell them that the food that they're eating is bishul akum. And this is as a result of the fact that they're einan b'nei Torah. In other words, they're not scrupulous, they're not careful about the way they perform mitzvahs. Now Rashi over here points out that this line of einan b'nei Torah is only going on the last point, meaning on the third psak of Rav Yochanan, on the bishul akum that they're eating. The other halachas are irregardless, irrespective of whether they're b'nei Torah or not b'nei Torah. Now we need explanation on all 3 statements of Rav Yochanan. First and foremost, Rav Yochanan says that when a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish man and they produce a child, the child is a mamzer. Now, if I polled and I asked you if that's in fact the case, so you would say to me, no, the child is not a mamzer, and you'd be correct. The child is not a mamzer, but we have seen Rav Yochanan's opinion a number of times throughout Shas. Rav Yochanan does not take that position. Rav Yochanan is of the opinion, in fact, the Gemara here is about to quote it, Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that not only is an arayus relationship going to create a mamzer? So, arayus relationship, a man with somebody else's wife or any one of the relatives, that's going to produce a mamzer. And Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that that's also going to be true if a non-Jewish man has a relationship with a Jewish woman. That too is going to produce a mamzer according to the opinion of Rav Yochanan. There is no tfisas kedushin, and so therefore the child is going to be a mamzer. That is Rav Yochanan's opinion. That happens to be not the halacha. The halacha does not follow this opinion of Rav Yochanan, but right now we're not learning the halacha. We are just learning right now Rav Yochanan's opinion. And the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan tamid amar Rav Yochanan lo olam einu ger, ash yidmo v'yidbol. So in other words, there are 2 steps to arrive at this conclusion. We know that geris does not take effect until you have both mila and tvila. V'kevin delo tavol avikochavamu. And therefore, these husbands that these women were married to didn't go through the 2nd step of Tvila, and therefore they're still goyim. The Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan Avikol Chamei Eved Abba Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. Step number two is that now that they're still goyim and they're having relations and producing children, so then the children, the resulting children, are going to be mamzerim, because Rabbi Yochanan says that an ovei kochavim that has relations with the Bas Yisrael, the resulting child is in fact going to be a mamzer. Okay, so that is psak number one of Rabbi Yochanan. And that's why he told him to go back to Gavla and declare the children to be mamzerim. Number two, gazal yena mishum yainesach mishum lech lech hamin nazir eschor eschar lekamer lo sikrav. And going back to yesterday's daf, Rav Yochanan says that when they dilute the wine, so the wine is yainesach. Again, the words yainesach over here are not to be taken literally. It's not like we consider the wine to be an offering to Avodah Zarah, but in other words, it falls under the gzera of yainesach, and therefore we're not allowed to drink it. And they should not be drinking the wine that was diluted by the non-Jew, based on what we learned in yesterday's daf. And finally, Al-Tur Masam Mishum B'Shulev D'Kochavim L'Fi She'en HaMenei Torah. And then the Bishul Akum, meaning that which was cooked for them is in fact Bishul Akum, because they're not B'nai Torah. Now, what does that mean, because they're not B'nai Torah? So, time and day in B'nai Torah, HaB'nai Torah Shari. So the Gemara over here notes that on this last point, meaning what's really the Halacha? Meaning what's the Ikar HaDin? So the Ikar HaDin is these beans are really mutter. And why? Because, let's go back to what we learned going all the way back to Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, and Lamed Ches. The Gemara there taught us that the Gzera Bishul Akum is that we're not allowed to cook food, we're not allowed to eat food that's cooked by a non-Jew, and the Gemara doesn't say it, but Rashi says it, the Rambam says it, and the issue is because of chaslus, because of intermarriage. We also learn in those Gemaras that there are two main heterim. There are two times where it would be allowed to have food that was cooked by a non-Jew. One, if it's nechal kamoshu chai, if the food can be eaten while it's in its raw state, and then the guy cooked it, so he didn't make a significant change to the item, and so therefore it would be fine. So if he took a fruit that's edible and he cooked it up for you, so you're allowed to eat it. So that is one heter. And the other heter of the Gemara over there was if it's ola al shulcha malachim. It has to be a food that's significant. It can't be a basic food, but rather has to be the kind of food that would have gone on the king's table. The Gemara over there says alafes bo sapas. It serves as a condiment to bread. But in other words, it's got to be a significant food. And so, if it's a basic food that's not significant, so it won't lead to social intimacy, and so that's not going to be a problem. So over here, these beans. So which heter do they fall under? So certainly they cannot be eaten in its raw state, but at the same time, they're not going on the king's table. Beans are not going on the king's table. V'hama Rav, and the Gemara now notes, before I read on further than the Gemara, so over here, so what's the Ikar HaDin? The Ikar HaDin is that it would be okay. It would be fine. But Rav Yochanan says that these people are not B'nai Torah, and so therefore Rav Yochanan feels that there's a need to be extra machmir with this particular community, and that's why he told them that they're not allowed to eat the beans. So the Gemara says, well, and it's not edible raw, so shouldn't it be subject to Bishul Akum according to the strict letter of the law, not as a chumrah? So the Gemara says, no, Rav Yochanan ki hachlish nasfirle. Rav Yochanan holds like the other lashon that we learned back then, which is Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav kol sheino ola l'shochan, shel malachim alafetz bo sapas, ein bo mishum bishule of de kochavim. It doesn't go on the king's table. These beans don't go on the king's table, therefore it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Now, time of day in B'nai Torah, ha B'nai Torah shari. Now, which the Gemara brings us to the conclusion. And so therefore, the only reason why Yasid is because they're inan B'nai Torah. But had they been B'nai Torah, so then it would have been mutter, then it would have been permissible. Okay, so far today we have encountered two episodes. One, Reish Lakish going to the town of Batzra, issuing two Piskei Halacha, and having to reject them both. And then the second story is Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba going to the town of Gavla, observing three actions of the Jews living in Gavla, reporting it back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan offers his psak on all three points. We're on the bottom of Nun Testament Aleph. Bo mine Merav Kahana. Oviko chamash yelech anavim legas. Can I have the goy help me out taking the grapes and bringing them to the gas? Okay, so we go back to the topic that really started this whole discussion going. You go back to Nun Hey, the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Hey and Aleph. And there we talked about having the grapes putting into the gas. That's the upper portion of the vat. where that's where it's going to get pressed and stepped on, and then the liquid is going to run down and go into the pit in the ground. And so the discussion of when is it Yai Nesech, when is it Yai Nesech, what about Hechsher Tuma? So a number of discussions that we had in the beginning of this discussion. We are now just addressing a very simple question, and that is, look, I certainly know that I cannot have the guy be involved once it turns into wine. Because once it turns into wine, if he touches it, so then it's going to be Yai Nesech, or some version of Yai Nesech. So, but over here, can I at least hire the guy to help me bring the grapes from the vineyard, so into the gas? So can we do that? So this is what the Gemara now discusses. So Baal Mine Mei Rav Kahana. So they ask the following question for Rav Kahana, V'kochav Ma Shielach Anavim Lagas. Can we have him bring the grapes over to the gas? So Amalu Aser, Mishum Lech Lech Aminazir Skor Skor Lakam Lo Sikrav. So his answer is no, and again, why no? So is it Yain yet? It's not Yain yet. But it's where it's headed, meaning this is the beginning of the production of wine. And so I think it's just it's a poor idea. Because once we're already in the beginning of the manufacturing of the wine, so it's just not, it's simply not prudent. Let's leave it like that.
Does that make sense when the guy is allowed to press the wine with his feet
with the Jew? Right, correct. He's not saying, I hear your point. He's not saying that it is Yai Nesach. He's saying, Lech Lech Amr Nazira. Lech Lech Amr Nazira just simply means, I don't recommend it. Meaning, it's more than I don't recommend it. Meaning, but it's not, he's not calling it Yai Nesach. He's just simply saying, it's a poor idea. In other words, Bidi Evid, would it be Aser? I'm not ruling, I'm just simply, I'm speaking it out. Bidi Evid, would it be Aser? It's hard to imagine.
I don't know. I mean, I was trying to say that he didn't just transport it.
So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a brisa. And the brisa says that if I have a non-Jew who takes the grapes, put it into the shehevi anavim lagas, who bring the grapes over to the gas, and they bring it in baskets and in other cylinders, right? Gigios, ketanos, whatever, some sort of cylinder. Alpha pisha ayam is alaf aleim mutter. And even though there's going to be a little bit of juice being extracted during the transfer, it's going to be mutter. So amale hevi kamart anu lechatzchila kamina. So he says, okay, you're right. The brisa allows it, but you know what the brisa allows? Post facto, b'di'eved, meaning what the brisa says that if the guy brought the grapes over into and put it into the gas, that's okay. But b'di'eved, it's okay. You're asking me lechatzchila, should this be a course of action? I'm telling you, it should not be a course of action. This is not the kind of behavior which I recommend because, again, you're talking about production of wine. I know it's not formally wine yet. But it's going to be, meaning that's the next step. Next step is that we're going to be crushing it in the gas and it's going to be running into the pit. And yes, as we noted a couple days ago, there are numerous opinions in terms of when exactly it goes from the point of grape juice to wine. And there were three, maybe even four opinions on the matter that we saw back on Nun Hei and Nun Vav. But in other words, but now I'm just simply saying this should not be a course of action that we should be taking. Okay. The Rashbam, I mentioned to Phil, the Rashbam, which you can find on the bottom of the Testament Aleph, it's funny, Rashi over here really comments on almost none of this, meaning Rashi doesn't even talk about what the potential issue may be. The Rashbam, as quoted by Tosfos on the bottom of the Testament Aleph, writes, Rashbam Pirsh, V'zeloshonu kishabotsum anavim, when you harvest the grapes, v'nosim osam b'salim, lo lichim lagas, and you put them in the basket, so he goes on to write, Mit ma'achin v'nechbashim ha'anafim ze'al ze'. So you have the weight of the grapes over one on top of another. V'ayayim z'alef. And what happens is that you have a little bit of wine out. Wine meaning, you know, juice extract. But you have a little bit of juice now that's going to get pressed out. U'matil osam begas ma'u shi'olichim o'vikochav legas. Mi'chashav ahu shi'mezal v'asos yayin nesach. B'maga olo. And what's probably going to happen is that as a non-Jew is transporting these grapes, he's going to not only touch the grapes, but he's going to be touching the wine that comes out and is not considered Yain Esach, that, says the Rashbam, was at least a consideration of the Gemara. Okay. Hahu Esroga. Okay, we are now on the top of the Testament base, three lines down, beginning of the line. Next story that we're going to be trying to unravel is the following. Esroga de Nafal Lechavisa de Chamra. So an Esrog fall into a barrel of wine. And now, whose Esrog is it? Not clear, perhaps not important, but an Esrog fell into a barrel of wine. So Idre Ovikocham Vishakle. So now a guy takes his hand, inserts it into the barrel of wine in order to get the Esrog back. So here we go once again with our topic that we've been covering the last number of days. This is Negiah Shalob Kavana. In other words, this is contact, but with no intent to create Yain Esach. So Negiah Shalob Kavana, what happens when a non-Jew touches the wine of a Jew, but not with the intent of making it Yain Esach? And here it's clear there was no intent, because he's clearly trying to recover the Esrog that fell into the barrel of wine. So what do we say over here? Now, again, if you remember, a couple days ago, we went over three opinions on the matter in terms of what happens when a guy touches wine, Shalob Bekavana, Maga Shalob Bekavana. The three opinions are, they're Tanaim, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Nassan takes the most machmir position, which is that it's Asr B'shtia V'ana. Rabbi Shimon takes the most makel position. It is Mutter B'shtia U'V'ana. And the Chachamim have a split decision over here. It's Asr B'shtia, but Mutter B'ana. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi seems to clearly side with this middle position. Let me first go through the story in the Gemara, and then we'll go to Rashi. So the Esrog fell into the barrel of wine. The Ovid Kochavim takes his hand, puts it in. Ovid Kochavim v'shakle, Amlu Ravashi. So Ravashi, apparently he was right there on the spot, and he made the following statement, Naktuli Ade. So what you're going to do is as follows. While the guy's hand now is in the wine, so what you're going to do is you're going to take his hand, you're going to hold his hand, and you're going to prevent him from agitating the wine. Now, Tosfos over here makes the observation that, what do you mean, prevent him from agitating the wine? When he takes his hand and puts it into the wine barrel, isn't that agitation? So Tosfos says no, because he was putting his hand in the wine just to recover the esrog. That's not considered agitation. But in other words, but now that he has the esrog in hand, so what you're going to do is you're going to basically hold his hand in place. So that he doesn't have an opportunity to agitate the wine. And then what you're going to do is that you're going to take all the wine and you're going to pour it out. Rashi explains the words Bartsua ad shaifa, is that you're going to take it, just tilt it over on its side, pour out the wine before the guy has a chance for shechshech. And what are we going to gain by doing all this? Now let's turn to Rashi. So Rashi, Bartsua lechavita ad shaifa. Right, kapu achavas l'tzad echad ashi shafech yencha l'soch kli acher sheyim shechayim and ovik ochavim v'achar kach yotzien v'te muteres behana. Rashi says what we're going to gain from all this is that at least it's going to be muta behana hachavas. The chol zman sheyadu tchuva b'yayin im yotzienu yafshal l'shmor shalo yishach shech, because what's going to happen is that if we don't go through this process, so while he's getting his hand out of the wine, I have the esrog in hand. I'm no longer worried about my esrog. My hand right now is in wine. You know what? Shich shuch. So I'll do a little bit of agitation, and then it would be asr ba'ana. So what we gain, says Rashi, by going through this whole process, is that we're at least going to prevent the wine from becoming asr ba'ana. V'avagav shani yoch zin es yado. Okay. So anyway, so that is the way Rashi understands the Gemara, that all this just so that the wine does not become asr ba'ana. Meaning it's certainly going to be asr b'shtia. Meaning you have maga, he did come into contact with it, and it's afilu shalob kavana, certainly with no intent to touch the wine. In other words, his clear intention was to recover the esrog. This is maga shalob kavana, and as I pointed out, it's a three-way machlokus, and let's assume we'll take the middle position of the chachamim. Okay. Am ravashi hayo v'kochavim. Okay, period. Okay. Adkan. Okay. Amar ravashi hayo v'kochavim denatska lecham d'Yisrael b'kavana. Now, let's say Ravashi issues the following psak. Let's say you have a guy come over, and he, just right in your face, takes his hand, puts in the wine, and he does shechshach. So basically, he now has asr your wine. Now again, let's just remind each other. A person can ask for something that doesn't belong to him. But that's only with a non-action activity, like Hishtachavaya. But if he does something that manipulates the item itself, so then a person can ask for something that belongs to somebody else. So over here, Rav Ashi says, is that if you have the guy coming over, right in your face, taking his hand, putting in the wine, and doing shichshuch. So now what? So afagav dilizvun ela ovikochav machrina aser. Can you take the wine and sell it to another non-Jew? The answer, of course, is no. In other words, now this wine is also b'shtiyo v'hana. However, can you take the non-Jew to court who took his hand and put it in the wine and basically damaged your product? So Rav Ashi says yes. Sharile l'mishkol dameh ma'u avikochavim. From that guy who put his hand into the wine and did shichshuch, and he did so with the intention, with the clear intention of damaging your property, so he says, yes, you're allowed to do that. My taima mikla kalyeh. Because he, now literally the words mean, he incinerated your wine, he burnt your wine up. Okay, but in other words, he damaged your wine. And with the damage that he did to your wine, so he has to pay.
In yesterday, with the fellow who walks in and puts his hand into the casket of wine?
Well, that was similar. The difference is that yesterday he did that. That was arguably, debatably, that was magish lo b'kavani. He wasn't intention, was not to do nisuch. Over there, he was just so angry with the store owner because the store owner refused to sell him wine. He says, what's this? And he put his hand in. But in other words, there, it was just for the purposes of illustrating that was wine. Although, I, if I remember correctly from yesterday, debatable. Meaning, it could be that the cases are very similar. So, but over here, so this is, I'm sorry, so he pays for the, so he's got it, so what you are allowed to do, says Rav Ashi, is that you're allowed to sue him for damages, meaning it's nezek. Now, you've read my mind. Interestingly, this is what's called an halacha hezek sheino nikar. Hezek sheino nikar, the Gemara in Gittin, the fifth perek, goes through a number of examples where I do damage to somebody's property, but only halachically, not physically. Meaning damages in the Torah is physical damage. Meaning, right, if I smash into your car, or if I do any physical damage to any of your property, so that's the kind of nezek where it requires payment. However, hezek sheino nikar, if it's, let's say, damage, halachic damage, the Gemara in Gittin over there gives a number of examples, but if it's hezek sheino nikar, so, lashme hezek, according to the strict letter of the law, it's not considered hezek. Although we did learn over there in that Gemara, that as a kenas, in other words, the Chachamim still wanted people to be careful about the way they treat other people's property, and even though according to the strict letter of the law, you're putter from damages, but as a kenas, but as a penalty, so you, the person has to pay. So, which then takes us to the next topic, which is, are you allowed to penalize, are you allowed to create kenasos and chutzaris, but anyway, okay. Amr of Ashi Menamin Alach Tanya. So he says, look, and I'm telling you that this is correct based on the following braisa. So if you have a goy that is being menasech wine of a Jew, but it's not done in front of the avodah zarah, so according to the Tanna Kamma, that braisa is going to be aser. Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Rav Yehuda ben Basera, Matira, Mishum Shnei Dvarim. So the two Rav Yehudas, these are Tanayim. Rav Yehuda ben Bava and Rav Yehuda ben Basera says it's going to be mutter because of two considerations. One, so first of all, nisuch only occurs in front of the avodah zarah. Any nisuch that's done not in front of the avodah zarah is not considered nisuch. And the other consideration is it's not within your power to ask my wine against my will. Meaning it's my wine, it's not yours, and therefore you can't ask against my will. So those are the opinions of the two Rav Yehudas, Ben Bava and Ben Basera. But the Tanakhama of that Braisa, clearly is of the opinion that it is in fact considered Yain Esech, and therefore it's going to be Aser. So, but what you are allowed to do is that you're allowed to collect for damages. That's the ruling of Rav Ashi. Okay. Stop over here. Let's, just quick recap. Today we encounter really three more episodes in today's daf. In the series of Gemaras of Maisa Shehaya. The first story we saw was with Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish went to the town of Batzra, confused it with Eretz Yisrael, offered two psakim, one about Trumas HaMaisos, the other about water that was coming from the ground, that was collected from the ground. And both when Rabbi Yochanan, when he goes to report to Rabbi Yochanan what he said, Rabbi Yochanan told him to turn around, go back, and to correct both of the psaks that he issued. Second story that we dealt with is Rabbi Chia Bar Abba going to the town of Davla, where there he witnessed three things. He reported those three things to Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan offered a ruling on all three points. The first is that if a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish man and they have a child, the child's the mamzer. That's not the halacha. Two, that the wine that's diluted by a non-Jew, even though he's not touching the wine, but he's diluting, he's adding the water into the wine. So that's also, he called it, Rav Yochanan referred to as Yain Nesach. And three, the beans that are cooked, the termusa beans that are cooked. So even though it's Eino Ola Shocha Malachim, but Rav Yochanan says, but the people living in Gavla are not B'nai Torah, and therefore he says that as a Chumrah, so they're usher to them, they're not allowed to eat those beans that were cooked by a non-Jew. Before we get to the third episode, the question was asked to Rav Kahana, are you allowed to hire the non-Jew to help you with the harvest of the grapes and bring them into the gas? And his response was, not prudent. Bidi evidence, okay, says the Gemara, but lechatchila should not have them helping in such a manner. And then the Gemara dealt with the third story today, where the esrog falls into the wine, and you have the non-Jew taking his hand, putting it into the barrel, but only for the purposes of recovering the wine. Recovering the esrog. This is magushlo bekavana. So what do you do? So you hold his hand in place after he has the esrog in his hand. You hold his hand in his place so that shichshur cannot be performed. You pour out the wine in the way Rashi presents it. And then what you gain by doing all that is that wine is not asr ba'ana. It's certainly going to be asr b'shtiyah. The guy touched it, but it's not going to be asr ba'ana. That's what you gain, at least according to Rashi. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.